You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Cotton On workers walked off the job on Monday to protest the company's refusal to pay them the living wage. Members of First Union picketed outside the clothing store on Queen Street in Auckland CBD. Union members have been attempting to negotiate a pay increase since April this year. However, they've stated that the latest offer they've received was, quote, worse than the first. Cotton On themselves have stated on their website that they are committed towards paying a living wage. However, workers in their retail and distribution centres are currently paid under that. Jared Abbott, First Union Secretary for Transport, Logistics and Manufacturing, has stated that Cotton On is duping customers with false claims of ethical employment practices. He has also highlighted a severe pay equity inequity for Pacifica and Māori staff compared to their Pākehā workers. I spoke with Jared about the situation at Cotton On for its employees. I started off by asking him how Monday's strike went.
Yeah, it was good. I mean, for us, it was really like a warning shot to the company because we've been bargaining with the company for a number of years. We've had a number of issues there over the years, and quite a few times the members have voted to take strike action, and then the company have, in the last minute, resolved the issue, and that's avoided it. And this time, I don't know if they didn't believe it was going to happen or what, but we said, you know, let's just do one day of strike just to show that we are serious and that we will actually take strike action. And it's really a precursor to, I think, what will end up being quite a large strike over Christmas if we can't resolve the current issues.
What are these issues with Cotton On that the staff have taken action against?
Well, there's a number of things, but the main thing is that we want our workers to be earning a living wage. Cotton On is one of these companies that put out all these policies and promote themselves as being ethical, and one of their global policies that they promote is that they pay living wages, but they pay nothing like it. In reality, what they're actually trying to do is cut staff's wages down to the minimum wage where they're currently above it. They also want to remove break times and stuff like that. And this is at a time where the company is making huge profits and growing internationally. But it's just a typical example, I guess, of what's been happening in the corporate space lately around corporate responsibility, where these companies have these policies that are similar to like greenwashing, where they try and pretend that they're environmental when they're nothing like that. It's the same thing happening across the corporate world, where they have all these corporate responsibility documents and policies that they can advertise and try and make out that they're these great corporate citizens, when really they're nothing of it. They're there to exploit people and make as much profit as they can. The owner of Cotton On is a guy called Nigel Austin, who's actually one of the richest men in Australia, and he's entirely made his money off the back of low-wage workers.
Yeah, because it says on Cotton On's website that, just to directly quote it, that they're committed to the journey towards paying a living wage. Would you say that this is a lie from their recent actions or just their actions overall?
Yeah, it's complete rubbish. And when we confronted them about it, they said, oh, well, look, you know, we have about 30 staff in the support centre that are paid more than the living wage, and everyone in the company has the opportunity to get one of those jobs, and that's the pathway to the living wage. Now, if you do the maths, like we got all the statistics off them of the amount of turnover, how many staff they have and all this, it works out that less than 0.1% of employees would actually be able to get there under their current regime. So to say that 0.1% of your employees can achieve a living wage as a pathway to paying living wages is a joke, you know? Like 99.9% of companies would get a better ratio than that of people paid above the living wage, and they don't advertise it, you know? If you're gonna pay the living wage, then you pay it to everyone. And the only time I think a company should really be saying, well, look, we can't afford to pay the living wage, is when they're really struggling and they're not profiting or not making huge profits, when they're still in like a growth or expansion or going through hard times. But this is a company that literally makes millions and millions of dollars. There's no shortage of money going through there. They've never once said that they can't afford it. It's literally just a case of, well, I think it's more important to them that Mr. Nigel Austin goes up the rich list than it is to have the staff that work for them earn enough to live off.
Just to clarify, what is the living wage at the moment for New Zealand?
So the current living wage is calculated at $21.15 an hour, and this is done by an independent statisticians from the universities, and it's basically based off what it would take to support, you know, a family on 1.5 incomes. In reality, in Auckland, the living wage is probably closer to around $26 an hour or more. but it's based on a national average. And one of the things that's really frustrating about dealing with Cotton On is they keep saying, oh, well, we don't need to pay living wages to our retail staff because they're all students and they probably still live with their parents and stuff like that. In reality, the cost of being a student is actually really expensive. But also what the company is proposing is that the retail staff are paid more than the distribution centre workers, which is made up of entirely full-time dedicated staff based in South Auckland, almost 100% Pacific Islander or Polynesian workers. And as we've seen from recent statistics that have come out about the wage gap between Pacific Island and Pākehā workers, is that it's larger than the gender wage gap. And this to me is just another company exploiting that opportunity. They want to set up their main distribution centre, which covers the whole of New Zealand in South Auckland, pay the lowest wages possible. And I think the statistics are like average Pacific Island woman earns around $23 an hour, average white Pākehā man earns around $33 an hour. And then if you actually look at what Cotton On are paying, like the top rate is around $18.50, $19 an hour. So the wages range from $17.70 through to $19 an hour. It's pretty poor and there's really no excuse for it.
Just about the pay inequity within Cotton On, why do you think that occurs?
I genuinely believe that they set up in places like South Auckland where they can staff it with Polynesian migrant workers, pay them next to nothing and really exploit the profits from it. I mean, the amount of money that they must make by having these kind of models, even across their whole business, to be fair, they are consistent in how they exploit people. I mean, we have people in the retail stores that, you know, they store their stores with one staff member who's not paid as a supervisor or anything like that, so they're all alone. We've had reports of people that have had to, like, go to the toilet in buckets because they're not allowed to close their store. You know, whenever there's bad customers or aggravated customers and stuff like that, there's no one there for them to feel in any way secure, and they're not recognised for that. I mean, you would think at the very least if you're alone working in a store that you'd be recognised above the minimum wage, but these people aren't. They guarantee workers 3 hours a week, so every worker's always hungry for more hours, and it's kind of like just systematically set up to allow them to really get around everything they can. Even the way they roster, you know, like they don't put rosters out in advance. They constantly reschedule people in order to be able to avoid paying public holidays properly, avoid paying people when they shut down on Easter Sunday and stuff like that. We have a lot of issues of them changing time cards of people to fit within their budgets. These workers who are on like minimum wage or very close to minimum wage, guaranteed a minimum 3 hours a week, and then doing overtime and basically not being paid for it because the manager wants to fit within their store budget. It's endless. And we've had situations like it was reported a couple of years ago and again a couple of years before that where we did audits on the company and found tens of thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars in unpaid holiday pay, unpaid overtime. And we're going through a similar issue with them now.
It sounds like that the non-committal to paying the living wage and the pay equity are not the only problems that these workers are dealing with at Cotton On. Are there any other issues that they're facing?
Yeah, I mean, the stuff that I talked about are the other issues, but I think there are remedies for us to deal with those through the employment authority and stuff like that, and that's the process we're going through at the moment. So really what these strikes are about getting living wages. And we want living wages, or at least a genuine pathway to the living wage for all the workers. We've been really active in the last few years, our union and across various companies, and we've won these living wages in companies like The Warehouse, Bunnings, Kmart, H&M, and we've won them by basically organising workers and taking collective action or threatening collective action. And this is basically what we're doing again. I mean, our union has a policy of that we believe all workers deserve at least a living wage. I mean, you know, why should people work for less than they can live off? Companies don't keep operating when they're not making profit. So why is it that workers are meant to run their life at a loss while companies are making profit? Doesn't make sense. So we're not ashamed to go out and say, actually, we don't want a 3% increase or a 2% increase. We want enough to get people up to something they can live off, whatever it takes. And that's, I guess, what we're going through.
You've mentioned that you've fought for better treatment of workers at other stores. How does Cotton On's treatment of their staff compare to other retail stores?
Pretty poorly. I mean, the understaffing, the low rates of pay, The fact that they allow managers to be able to change time cards and that, the lack of response from their human resources and payroll departments when pay discrepancies are raised, it's very poor, to be honest. It's unbelievable. And, you know, we constantly refer to them as a company that is a serial committer of wage theft, because that's what they do. They steal off workers.
You said that the most recent offer was worse than the first since you initiated negotiations with Cotton On. Could you clarify the differences in this and why it's worse?
Yeah, so initially they were offering about a 0.9% increase and for a one-year term, and then basically that was rejected. And this 0.9% increase, which would have worked out as roughly about 15 cents an hour for the workers, that was to apply from 1st of April. That went out to vote. The members rejected it, rightfully. And then they came back and said, well, we're not going to backdate any payment. Instead, we're going to offer you what would be the equivalent of a 2% increase, but we're actually going to take away paid rest breaks from you that are worth 2.1%. So it worked out as a pay cut. And then they said, and we want a two-year term. And in the second year, we want to remove an existing clause that requires that they don't drop workers below 3% above minimum wage in the retail stores. So if you work it out, like, you know, if people stayed on their existing contract right now, they'll actually earn more money over the next 18 months than if they agreed to what the company's offering now. So what they're actually offering is a pay cut.
What kind of a deal or improvement are you hopefully looking for, or are you seeking for these workers?
We want the living wage. I mean, we've proposed to the company a pathway to get there, so it would take them 2 years basically to like stagger up the rates, so that over the period of 2 years they would eventually reach what would be the living wage at the time. The company just haven't entertained it at all. But I mean, this is it. It's like, if you're not going to give people a pathway to the living wage, stop pretending that's what you do. Stop advertising it. Stop making out you're an ethical company. I mean, these companies, like, you know, people need to get real as consumers and think about, if you can go into a store and pay $10, $20 for a top or pants and stuff like that, of course it's being made by slave labor. Of course people are being exploited all the way through the supply chain, and of course the company are cutting corners wherever they can to get the products to be that cheap. I mean, they rip off other companies' designs. They get the stuff produced for next to nothing in exploited countries. They have really bad ratings by all the auditing agencies, and yet these auditing agencies aren't effective as in themselves in being able to access workers and stuff. And then in countries like New Zealand and Australia, where they're making massive profit, they're known as the lowest paying brands. They give nothing back to the community of those countries, yet constantly paint themselves out to be some amazing organisation. And it's the kind of, like, if you walked into this distribution centre, literally every single wall is covered with posters with, like, friendly catchphrases about how important their staff are to them and how everything is about their people and helping people out and their pathways and all this kind of stuff. But it's all just rubbish. No one believes it.
Is there anything else you'd like to say about this?
Just if you are out shopping, ideally until this dispute's resolved, I'd recommend people stay away from Cotton On. But if you are shopping in there, you know, like, don't be shy just to say it's good to see you workers are fighting for stuff and that you support people getting paid a living wage. And also, you know, like, we will be causing more disruptions as things go on, and we are likely to probably shut down their supply chain leading up to the Christmas period. So, you know, like, apologies to people that will be disrupted by that, consumers and that. But I think it's an important fight that needs to be fought to ensure that, you know, we keep more money in the New Zealand community and less money being sent overseas.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.